Behold, the table of the Lord is set before us, and he bid us come and sup with him today as we prepare our hearts for worship. Savior Jesus the Christ. We pray that you are blessed this morning and we are grateful for your presence in this place and certainly want to welcome especially our visitors who are with us here today at First Baptist Elon. If you are with us for the first time or if you've not done so before, we want to encourage you to take the time to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. And if you'd like to have updates about our church and our activities, be sure and include your email on that as well. Today we do have our men's and ladies' Bible studies resuming their normal time tonight at 5:30. If you're a part of that, make sure that you make that note. We also want to let you know as a congregation that we have two new additions in the church. We have a first aid kit and an AED machine. And those are things that we've been thinking about for a while and want to be able to care for any emergency situations that may arise. We ask if you have ever been trained or if you're currently trained and up to date on AED training. If you're not familiar with what that is, it's essentially a way of resuscitation. It's a machine that is smarter than I am. It can really help in situations where people's hearts have stopped or they've had a stoppage of breathing. If you are certified in that, we'd like to know that. We'd like to have a list. We do have training coming up for several members of our congregation and key leaders so that we will have a good core group of people who are trained. But if you're already certified, if you contact the church office, we'd like to keep a list of who knows how to use that. Even if you don't know how to use it and are trained, it will train you. It'll tell you step by step what to do. We want to make sure that you're aware that we do have that now in the AED machine is at the bottom of the staircase by our visitor center where we have all of our mailboxes. You may notice it. Don't open the door, though. It does have a pretty sound alarm. So just make sure that you're aware of that. Today, as we worship, you see before us the Lord's Supper. And it is every bit as much a symbol of the death of Christ as it is a symbol of new life and new birth. And so what a fitting Sunday to have a baby dedication. And I want to invite Eleanor to come up, and she can bring her parents with her if she'd like.
good. Yeah.
We are excited to dedicate this child. I'm going to try to get out of your way. Dedicate this child to the Lord this morning. Gay is going to lead the family and the congregation in a dedication. And then we're going to have a prayer of dedication as well for this little girl. Isn't she beautiful?
Amen.
And all God's people said, oh. Yeah.
Okay, well, you join with me as we do this. As parents entrusted with this life so precious, do you, in the presence of God and this church, solemnly dedicate this child to the Lord? Do you promise to raise her in faith and teach her all you know of grace in our ancient faith? Now, the covenant with the church and with the family. As God's people, do you agree to faithfully model godly lifestyles for this child and invest yourselves in her life in a positive way?
We do.
Let's pray. You want to pray with me?
Let's pray. God, thank you for this sweet life, this precious child who is yours and who you have claimed and called by your name. We pray that you bless her, that you give her the fullness of life, that her parents would have the wisdom to raise her in godly ways, and that she will grow in faith and stature in the favor of all people. In Jesus' name, amen. I like you. We have a few gifts for you as a family. This is a dedication card. There's a place for you to sign and place that in your keepsake or in your scrapbook. And then this is your first Bible right there. And our knitting crew also knitted a prayer shawl for her. Let's give that to you too as well. And all God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
What a wonderful way to begin our time of worship this morning as we reflect on that moment of ministry and what God has called us to do today. Let's turn in our scripture this morning to Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. As we reflect on the work of God's hand this day, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Faithful God, we come into your presence with thanksgiving, deeply grateful for the unfailing love and faithfulness you have shown toward us, your people. When we call out to you, you answer us. When we are exalted, you give us the strength to keep going. When we find ourselves in trouble, you are there standing right beside us. And so we come before you today with gratitude and praise, offering you this worship service, offering you our hearts and our very lives. Open our eyes to see you and to know that you are here among us. Open our ears to recognize your voice when you speak to us, and then send us out from here as your servants, as your disciples. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus the Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, Amazing Grace, My chains are gone. Get to our ministry highlight for today. I do another announcement that got passed on to me this morning. Throughout the weeks and months here at the church, things get misplaced. Coats get left, hats get left, umbrellas definitely get left, stuff gets left in the kitchen. So I did want to let you know, as you leave church this morning in the next couple weeks, walk by the fellowship hall. There is a table that's been set up there with lots of things that have been left. And we want you to claim it, and if you don't claim it within a month, we're going to donate it. So if you're missing an umbrella, head upstairs to the fellowship hall, check out, or a coat anyway. But just did want to make you aware of that announcement this morning as well. Our ministry highlight for today is our quarterly senior adult luncheon that will take place not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, February 19th. at 11:30 here in the fellowship hall. For our quarterly luncheon this month, we have the fortunate opportunity to have the new town of Elon chief of police, Kelly Blackwelder, who will be coming to speak with us. Kelly has been a part of the Elon Police Department for many years, but she just took over as becoming the town of Elon's chief of police in January. And one of the things that she was wanting to do is get out in the community, get to know the churches and the different organizations that meet in our town. And so at our luncheon on February 19th, she will be coming, sharing her story of who she is and how she came to Elon and how she became the chief of police here at Elon, to be answering any questions that we might have for her as a community of faith that meets in her district. Also, many of you live in the town of Elon, so it'll be a good opportunity to put a face with a name. But I encourage you to sign up for this luncheon. The sign-up sheets are in the Sunday school classroom. There's also one in the communication center. The deadline to sign up is this Wednesday, so we make sure we have enough food. The menu that day will include lasagna and salad and bread, dessert, and a drink. It's only for $3 a person. You can't beat that deal anywhere in the town of Elon, the town of Burlington, or Alamance County. So make sure you sign up for this. We look forward to the opportunity to meeting Kelly. But we also look forward to the time of gathering around the table. So please sign up for this ministry opportunity coming up next week.
Our offertory hymn this morning is not in your hymn book, so you are going to have to look at the screen. But it's to the tune of a song that you know, Come All Christians Be Committed. So let's stand and sing Jesus at Your Holy Table. Let's stand and worship.
Master and not the moment. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
invite you to hear again the words of Holy Scripture, which our passage today from 1 Corinthians 15 contains the oldest known creed of the church, perhaps written as early as 2 years after the death of Christ, which you hear and receive. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, to which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he also appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, so you have come to believe. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The Bible tells us that we're not to come to the table unworthily. Would you take a moment of silence to prepare your heart and your mind as we approach ever closer to receiving the Lord's Supper together? Would you confess to the Lord any lingering sin and surrender it into his almighty grace and powerful hands? Let us pray. God, your word tells us that we are all sinning and falling short of your glory. We are all guilty. We have all made mistakes. We have all done wrong. Both intentionally and unintentionally, we have broken your commandments and your laws, your decrees, and even broken your dreams for our lives. But your word also tells us that if we confess, you are faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us from all the wrong. And so, Lord, we stand at your table ready to receive, because it is not us but you working through us by the power of your grace that we have received your word. Christ has come. Christ has died. Christ shall come again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God, just as you are.
saying that goes, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish and he'll feed himself for a lifetime. To which I have a friend who added, don't teach the man to fish. Convince him to pay you to fish for him and you'll make a good living. In many ways, churches across the world have taken up that third option. Pay someone else to do the fishing. And yet we are reminded time and time again by Jesus that we are all the ministers of the church. We are all called to fish. And we'll find that when Jesus refers to fishing, he's not talking about the thing with scales, but the people of the world who need to be caught up into the kingdom of God. When you look about fishing, there's one thing that probably all of us can agree on. You either love to do it or you hate it. And you have to love it. It is dirty work, dealing with worms and crickets and things. And even if you use artificial bait, you still have to touch the fish. And if you're like me, you don't believe in the catch and release stuff. You're going to eat what you catch. So you got to clean it. You got to gut it. It's dirty, dirty work. And so it is with fish, being a fisher of people. It is not clean and simple and easy. It is hard and dirty work. And most people either love it or they hate it. They either do it or they don't. And so Jesus, we find in chapter 5 of Luke's gospel, uses that imagery of fishing to prompt us and prod us into a deeper understanding of what it means to be disciples in the world. People who are called to cast a wider net and to draw others into the boat, which is the very kingdom of God. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little away from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked all night long and have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done this, they caught so many fish, their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. When they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. You can imagine the scene and the scenario of Jesus there with this great crowd of people with so much need. It's easy to blur those faces, but every person there was a real human individual with their own story, their own pain and hardships, their own hurts and brokenness, their own abuse, both the abuse that they have given and the abuse that they have received. They've been hurt by the church of their time, the temple. They've been cast aside by society. Or they are ones who have done the oppressing themselves. People of all station and situation. People both rich, but most of them very, very poor. Pressing in, trying to get something from Jesus. Jesus, no doubt, knew, and often he shared this quietly, that many people were just there for selfish reasons. Everybody wanted a piece of the Messiah. It's kind of like when a president invites Billy Graham into the Oval Office. often there is an ulterior motive behind that. And yet, Jesus, like the Reverend Billy Graham, would go and make himself available. Jesus, available to the people, gets into a little boat and just gets a little bit of space so that he can teach them. Now imagine you're Simon sitting there. What's that man doing in my boat? I don't know if you've ever known anyone who has a boat, but they're pretty possessive about those things. And here is Jesus sitting in the boat teaching, and Simon watching as he washes his nets. He's been out all night long fishing and has caught nothing. He's tired. He's grumpy. He's ready to just go home. He's washing the nets, getting off the stink and the debris of the night's work. And he just wants to rest. And Jesus will not let him do so. Get back in the boat with me, Simon. Come on, one more time. Let's go out into the deeper water. And we'll cast the nets and we'll go fishing. Let's go fishing, Simon. And you know, Simon's response is so wonderful. It's almost comical when he says, you know, I have been working at this all night long, Jesus. But if you say so, it's almost like he's trying to give Jesus permission to change his mind. If you really want to go, I'll take you. You ever have people do you those kinds of favors? Well, if you really want me to, I will. And so Simon and Jesus, they go out into this deeper water and then cast your nets on this side. Cast your nets in this spot. Place the nets right here, and up from the deep comes a catch so large one boat cannot even contain it. They have to call in their friends from the shore. Come on and help us haul in the catch. This is something I think many Sunday school classes looked at this lectionary passage for today and discussed it from no doubt wonderful angles. The thing that has always stood out to me about this passage for the work of the church is that you can work like Simon so hard, so faithfully, so diligently committed to the task of fishing. Fishing every night, fishing day after day, week into week, but perhaps you're not fishing in the right spot. It doesn't matter how hard I fish if I'm not fishing where the fish are. If I'm not fishing for the right fish. I had a dear friend, Tony Brooks, who took me fishing. He is an expert. He knows everything about fishing. And we were sitting in the boat, and after a few minutes, 30 minutes passed, I say, Tony, why don't we go fish over there by those weeds? That looks like a good place to fish. No, we're going to fish right here. A few minutes later, Tony, you see that little creek that's kind of going out of the pond? Let's go down there and let's see if there's any fish down there. No, we're going to fish right here. After I annoyed him one too many times, he silently just looked at me and said, who's the professional? And sure enough, before day's end, we had a great catch of fish. Jesus looks to us often, I think, in church life and in church work, and he sees us working so diligently and faithfully and hard, but we're fishing in the wrong place. And he keeps saying, I'm over here. Come over here. Fish with me here. And yet we say, no, Jesus, we would prefer to fish that way or that way. The bass are biting, but we want to fish for brim. And Jesus says, who's the professional? Fish where I am fishing. Fish in the right spot. Or else we will be left empty and frustrated, and we may just quit altogether. Do you ever find yourself feeling like you are working so hard at something but not seeing any fruits, not seeing anything coming of your labor? You have to be fishing where Jesus is fishing. But the greater truth to this whole story is, make sure if you're going to go fishing with Jesus, make sure Jesus is in the boat. Make sure he's in the boat with you in the first place. So many times, if you're like me, I have committed to a task with my full heart and soul only to realize down the road that that's not even where Jesus is working. That's not even where Jesus is at. As a church, we would do well to look and see, where is Christ at work in the life of the church? Where do we see him being productive and active and moving? What is growing and what is not? And would it not do well to make sure we join Jesus where he is? It always troubles me when I was working with groups of teenagers who would come down in flocks of 300 and 400 to summer camp in Charleston. When I was directing a camp there, they always had the same excited, naive attitude. We're here and we brought Jesus with us. And you just want to say, no, he beat you here. Wherever we go, go where Jesus is. And we find that he's already been there preparing the ground, working the fields, setting the nets, showing us, just waiting to show us exactly where to cast. Today, as we come to the Lord's Supper, it is a symbol of what lengths Christ was willing to go through to catch us and to bring us in to the kingdom. Willing to give his blood, all of it, his flesh, all of it, his life, all of it. Willing to give his whole self that we might be in the boat. Would it not do us well, and would we not be wise to make sure that we are willing to listen to this man and to do it according to his way and not our own? Let us pray. Indeed, O Lord, it is so easy for us to take the nets in our own hands and demand that it's our way and our place and our preference, but teach us to fish where you are fishing. And most of all, God, to keep you with us, to make sure that you are with us, in the boat with us, showing us, guiding us, teaching us. For we do not know what we are doing. We are not the professional kingdom builders. But with you, O God, all things are possible. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, amen.
We come to this table that is full and packed with symbol. The symbol of bread, for example. Life in the ancient Middle Eastern world revolved around bread. There are so many passages throughout the Old Testament that speak about bread, the gathering of the elements of bread, the combining of those elements, the baking of bread, the eating of bread, the denial of access to bread. A little yeast, a little leaven, a little wheat, a little heat. Bread is life. And on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he chose to use that symbol of bread to represent his own self before his disciples. Disciples who in just moments would deny him, betray him, run away, and hide. And yet in them he saw something. Fishermen. Fishermen who didn't get it right all the time, who were a little hard-headed and stubborn and often backwards, but fishermen. And so to them he gave this symbol which they in turn have passed on to you and to me. For Jesus said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat." Jesus chose another symbol, the fruit of the vine, which is wine, was poured out at every Passover as a symbol of blood. Jesus did not invent this on the spot. Rather, he took something deep and ancient tradition and breathed into it new life and new meaning, saying to us that we may be so stuck on the ways that God has done things in the past, our traditions, our way, the way we have always done it. And yet the Spirit of the living God breathes like breath upon it, bringing to life something new. And Jesus took that symbol of the cup of Passover and he blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." Would you pray with me? Almighty God, King of the universe, who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Who said, "Let there be life," and there was life. Who took dust, something less than dirt, and yet formed it into a human and filled it with spirit, and it came to be. You have prepared this table before us, and we shake in awe that you, O God of the universe, would think of us and give your Son to die for us, to suffer and to bleed and to be broken for us, so that by his stripes we indeed might be healed. We pray that today, by these symbols of bread and cup, your disciples might have their faith deepened, might be challenged and encouraged and blessed beyond measure. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. As you receive the cup, we will all drink together. As you receive the bread, we will all eat together. We ask that you serve the person next to you, not simply pass the plate, but to serve it to the person beside you. And as you are preparing, as you are meditating in the silence and in the music of the moment, would you, as you think about this body of Christ broken, this blood shed, think of someone else who needs to hear that story. Who is the fish that God has laid before you to catch?
they shared in the supper. They sang a hymn and departed. What a fitting way to close our service by singing together, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." If you were able, would you please stand? This blessing as we go. May you follow the Christ, leaving all the things of the world behind, that you might be fishers of people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go.